My brothers and sisters, I want to teach you a very ancient call and response that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years, and especially Easter and the Paschal, the entire Paschal season, the entire season of Easter. And it goes like this. When I say, Christ is risen, you respond with all of the Paschal enthusiasm that you can possibly muster. Indeed, he is risen. So let's try this. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Very good. Don't forget that, because we're going to be using that throughout the entire season of Easter, which is even longer than the season of Lent. I want to begin this reflection on the resurrection to kind of put this in context. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord today, and sometimes it can just kind of be one other feast if we don't really understand what's going on here. You know, a week ago today, Palm Sunday, we celebrated our Lord's triumphant entrance into Jerusalem when he was hailed as a prophet and people laid down palm branches before him and welcomed him into Jerusalem, into his own city as a prophet. And then just a few short days later, that same crowd was yelling out, crucify him, crucify him. And we know, as I preached on Good Friday, our Lord was able to do something that only he, as God and as man, was able to do. And I want to just recap that real quick. Because our Lord, God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had this great plan to fix this problem of sin that we've gotten ourselves into. And I would submit to you that the way that they planned to do it was the best possible way to do it. Perhaps the only way to do it. But we know that, as I preached on Good Friday, we know that whenever we sin, we offend the divine majesty. We offend God. And God is merciful, yes, but he's also just. And in his justice, he can't simply pretend that there is no offense. And it's not so much that he demands blood like some angry, you know, king who just wants to get his vengeance, but it's that our sin truly offends God. It truly offends God, and not just, brothers and sisters, not just the small stuff. Sometimes we think that the only thing that really offends God is, you know, if we're a terrorist or a mass murderer or something like that. Brothers and sisters, we can offend God in so much smaller ways, too. There's no such thing as accidentally offending God, but even in the smaller ways, you know that even you know, I see a lot of people here, and we're very glad that you're here on Easter Sunday, but you should be here every Sunday. You know that missing Mass, even on one Sunday, is a big deal. And if you do it knowingly and freely, well, then your other two conditions required for mortal sin are present, and that's mortal sin, brothers and sisters. And I don't want to put a damper on the Easter joy, but I want to make a point that we can offend God in very small ways, seemingly small ways. But this is the thing, is those offenses to God, we know Scripture tells us all sin deserves death. All sin deserves death. But Jesus Christ took on the debt that was properly ours. When the second person of the Blessed Trinity became man, became one of us, he was able to take upon himself the penalty that is properly ours. We are the ones who offend God through our sin. Jesus Christ is completely innocent. We offend God through our sin, but by becoming one of us, he is able to take on the punishment, the debt, that injustice is properly ours. And he's only able to do that because he became one of us. But this is the great thing, is because Jesus Christ is also fully God. Because no man, no human being ever, not just any of us, but no human being ever could possibly pay back the debt of sin that has been incurred. None of us could possibly suffer enough to pay back the punishment due to sin. But Jesus Christ, as God, can pay back in full. He can infinitely pay back an infinite debt, brothers and sisters. And he's only able to do that because he's God. So you see, in the person of Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, we are saved. We are saved because as man, he took that which was properly ours, our punishment due to sin. But as God, he is able to infinitely pay that back and suffered and died so that when we one day suffer physical death, it won't be the end for us. That just as physical death did not have the last word on Jesus Christ, neither will it on us who are not just baptized, but then live a life, live a good, holy Christian life. For those of you who know me well, you know that I love C.S. Lewis. And I love especially the Chronicles of Narnia. And that first movie they did, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, came out, the BBC had done some versions of it back in the 80s, but the version that just recently came out a few years ago, they did two others after that, the next two books. I thought they were awful movies because they really didn't stick to the text. But that first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it was a wonderful movie. And I see some of the kids are paying attention now because I'm talking about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But in that movie, there's this great scene where Susan and Lucy were at the stone table, which is a symbol of the crucifix. It's where Aslan himself was sacrificed, who is himself an image of Jesus Christ. Susan and Lucy are at the stone table after Aslan has been killed. And they go there to just be with his dead body. And they know that something's going to happen. They don't know what. They have a certain hope. Granted, their hope is probably beginning to diminish because they see him suffer and die. But they wait there with him. You remember the scene. They're waiting there with his dead body still tied up to the stone table. And they fall asleep. And they're awoken by the sound of these little mice that are coming, and they're chewing away the cords. And at first they think the mice are going to come and like eat the body, and they try shooing them away, but then they realize the mice are actually there to chew off the cords to free him. And they begin to kind of say, well, we better kind of move on. You know, he's still here. We have stuff to do. We have to move on. And as they begin to get up and they walk away and the camera shot moves away from the stone table, then there's this loud noise and this earthquake and everything shakes, and they turn around and they see the stone table, and Aslan's body is no longer there, and the stone table is broken in half. And then there's this huge light and this big noise, and Aslan comes coming up from behind the stone table in glory, and he's just glowing, and he doesn't have a single bruise or gash mark on his body. And they go running over to him, and their little British accent, oh, Aslan, Aslan, you're back. And they see him, and they're trying to figure out, what happened? How is this? We just saw you dead. And he says to them, he says, if the white witch, who of course is a symbol of Satan, and she was the one who actually put him to death on the stone table, he says, if the white witch read the words that were carefully written on this stone table, if she read them carefully and interpreted them properly, she would have realized that when an innocent person offers himself in the place of the guilty, that death itself will be reversed. And brothers and sisters, that's what happened with Jesus Christ. Because he was completely innocent, and again, he took on that debt by becoming a man, but he himself didn't incur that. He was completely sinless his entire life, and in fact showed us the way to be sinless. But that's what we celebrate at Easter, that Jesus Christ destroyed, reversed the effects of sin and death. So I'll leave you with this, brothers and sisters. The war is already won. Sin and death have been conquered by Jesus Christ's resurrection. He has gloriously destroyed sin and death. There's that great Easter hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today, and there's that one verse, where, O death, is now thy sting? Where thy victory, O grave? And I always thought that was just a big backhanded slap to death in the grave. Where is your victory? Kind of provoking them. And there's this great image in that movie still when Aslan is back and he goes to fight the battle and the white witch sees him resurrected and she has this look on her face like, I killed you. What are you possibly doing? I saw you die. And he comes over and he jumps over and he throws her down and bites off her head. But that's the symbol too. That's the symbol too of Satan, because brothers and sisters, like I said, the war is won. Satan has been duped. Satan thought maybe he was going to get something out of this, but brothers and sisters, Christ destroyed sin and death through his own resurrection, and he destroyed our sin and spiritual death through our baptism and through the sacraments. so that we have that hope that if we live a good, holy, Catholic, Christian life, we too will rise with him. But brothers and sisters, like I said, the war is won, but the battle is still continuing. And I would leave you with that image that the devil is kicked. The white witch was kicked. And if there weren't kids here, I would use other adjectives to describe it. I mean, kicked, livid. Why? Because he knows. He and his fallen angels know that Christ has already won the war. And they are out to bring as many of you down to hell with them. As many as possible. And again, I don't want to sour the Easter joy here, but I want you to be sober about this, that there is a battle being waged for each and every one of your souls. There is a battle, angelic warfare going on, brothers and sisters, for each and every one of your souls. The devil and his demons want as many of us, as many of us, and why does he go after priests so much? Because if he can bring us down, he's going to bring many others down very easily. So pray for your priests. Pray for me. But he wants as many of us to go to hell with him because he is just ticked about this resurrection, that God would raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And so, brothers and sisters, he is. I'm warning you now, you are going to continue to be tempted through life. The fact that Christ rose from the dead doesn't mean temptation is not going to come. Temptation is still going to come. Physical death is still going to come. But we have that hope because of Christ's resurrection that we too will be raised. So I want us to be sober about that and to keep in mind that there is a battle being waged for your soul, brothers and sisters. And as C.S. Lewis said elsewhere, this is one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis, he said one of the devil's biggest tricks is to make you believe that he doesn't exist. If you go through life saying, you know, the devil and fallen angels, demons, that's all something the church thought up to scare us into doing the right thing. Okay, have fun believing that. They do exist. The devil does exist. There is a battle being waged for each and every one of your souls. And again, the war is already won. That's what we celebrate today. But brothers and sisters, let's make sure we are on the right side. Christ is risen.